Hello, everybody. This is David and Jeremy from I Don't Know. What Do You Want to Talk About? The podcast that likes to ask daring questions like, what happens if I send a relative inflammatory text that I meant to give to Jeremy to someone else?
We'll
Who
find
knows?
Out.
Maybe we'll find out during the recording of this podcast. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy. Jeremy, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, buddy? Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Hells
Indeed.
Yeah. Hells yeah. Now, before we bust out, just give us a one-word synopsis. Give us a feeling. How has your year been? Let's see. Today's the 4th when we're recording, so it's been 4 days of 2020. Give us a one-word description.
I'd say mushy.
Mushy?
Mushy so far.
All right.
Nothing.
Like mushy love
solid.
Mushy? Oh, nothing solid. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everything feels very, very mushy right now.
I
How about
gotcha.
You? What's your word, buddy?
My word is going to be optimistic.
Oh.
Optimistic. That's my one word. For so far in the first 4 days, let's see how long it takes the universe to shit in that bowl of Cheerios.
Right?
Anyway, well, let's bust off into this. So
right?
We talked on a Monday last because
yes.
of all kinds of bullshittery and me not being free from guests and all of this kind of stuff. So as said on Monday, it was kind of going to be a reset day on the house. We kind of got laundry all caught up and we did some cleaning and gathering all the Christmas decor to pack up. Matter of fact, our rescheduled time today was pushed back just a little bit due to some of random bullshittery in your house. So we actually used the last half an hour to tear down the Christmas tree. It was the last.
Oh,
it
there
was
you
the,
go.
It was the last thing to tear down because the lights are pretty. So that one just got yanked down. But a little bit of, you know, moving bedrooms, you know, put the girl back into her room and clean the guest room again and putting Christmas gifts away. Because I don't know about your house, David, but when we open gifts and Christmas, there just seems to be Christmas gifts everywhere. You know,
yeah.
like there's a pile of clothes from me that I needed to take the stickers off of and wash. And then there's a pile of the same thing for the kids. And then there's that one thing that we're going to use outside. And then there's, you know, just a piles of stuff to just put away
yep.
after the holidays. So that was kind of Monday. I also had a doctor appointment. And David, I'm going to dive a little bit into this because there is a funny bit at the end. So
okay.
David knows all of the story. I have had, for those in podcast land, I have had a couple of symptoms that have made me want to go get checked out for a couple of male issues. One being possible prostate issues. I'm a little young for it, but I was having a little trouble with I was peeing like an old man, David. I really was. Like I was peeing
yeah.
twice my age. Which sounds like a good thing, but it's not.
So you're saying your balls were in the water?
Well, no, that's just normal. I'm talking about flow rate, David. I'm talking about...
Oh, okay, I'm there.
So Monday, it was a fuller checkout, and I got to go to a specialist. I haven't been to a specialist since I had my heart thing. But my urology specialist ticked a lot of boxes of, this isn't anything to worry about, this explains that... And he did want to start me on a drug for basically the old man peeing problems. And I'm like, oh, great. I hate taking fucking pills. I've already got to take a thyroid one. But he goes through. I'm like, whatever. And this man, I love him now because he is very straightforward. I mean, I guess when you deal with wieners and hoo-ha's all day, you kind of got to be straightforward.
Right.
After a while. But he looks at me and he goes, right, so I'm going to give you something to help with that. You're a little too young for the prostate thing. I thought for sure he was going to stick finger in my ass, David. I really did. But he didn't. But he just looks at me, squints a little. Well, you know, check the prostate. He squints a little bit.
No, I was thinking he's checking for tapeworms.
oh, no, that's two fingers. And it's a little pinchy motion as we.
Oh, yes. And toilet paper is involved, I believe.
Just to be sanitary. Shut up, David. You're going to give me the flashbacks. Anyway,
itchy asshole.
You're going to give me the itchy asshole, David. So he squints at me, this doctor, and he's like, you know, all of this is so, asks me all of the bladder-related questions. And then he looks at me squinty-eyed and he goes, "How is your erection?" And my eyes got real wide. And I'm like, it's all right. And he kind of does this, He goes, "I know what I'm going to do." And so he goes out and he comes, I pull up my pants and I go out and he hands me a prescription. He's like, "Get this filled, yada, yada, yada." I'm like, "Okay." And I read the prescription and it's for Tadalafil. Do you know what that is, David?
I don't.
You don't. I had known the word, and I'm trying to research in the back of my head for, you know, I was a pharmacy tech for a couple of years, and I'm like, Tadalafil, why do I know that name? It's not one of the ones I had in my head for, you know, bladder problems in old people, because when sure. I was a pharmacy tech, I did all nursing homes. So it was like, Tadalafil. It's, I had to Google it. It is the new generic for Cialis, David. I am on a daily Cialis regimen, not for what Cialis was originally. I am one of the people who is trying to live with the side effects of Cialis, being that it helps symptoms of an enlarged prostate. It helps with peeing. But that last question of how is your erection finally clicked, and I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't say great. Because now I get a bonus boner pill, David.
Wow.
I know, right? So I'll check back with you to let you know how that goes.
But have you started taking it
yet? I went and picked up the prescription yesterday. So I hopefully the old man bladder things goes away and then I get like teenage boners again. I'll be sweet. It'll be awesome. Honey,
make sure it does not go more than 6 hours.
I think it's four, really. But, honey, if you're listening to this,
six is.
Honey, when you're listening to this, hurry home.
Now, have you told Kelly that you're on?
Of course I did. Of course I did. So she's like, "Oh, all right." I'm like, "Yeah, all right." So that was kind of exciting. Nothing major. Gonna try this pill. So it's gonna be great. So I'll check back with you, unless I'm too busy to record a podcast anymore. So anyway, let's get back to my week. Tuesday and Wednesday were really kind of big robot building days. Learning to use the new fireplace in the shop. I had to get over there. It's learning how to keep it warm enough and hot enough to make it worth my while. I was sure. getting emails from the Pop Gallery begging for more and more robots, and then I got an email from the O'Hare Gallery, and they are ready to get their first shipment of robots. And I'm like, ha, cool. I gotta ship an emergency shipment off to Pop real quick, then we're working on yours, and then I gotta do another one for Pop immediately. So I'm like, sweet. I got a few emails from Straggler collectors as well, looking for a couple of specialty commissions. And I'm like, woohoo, woohoo. So in the middle of that was New Year's, David. I went out with friends and neighbors. We went drinking at the coal yard. Did not wear flannel. I did get flannel for Christmas. I didn't wear flannel or my shitter's full hat.
What is this thing with flannel in you? I don't understand it, Jeremy. I don't understand it. Come here and hang out. Jeremy, you lived in the Midwest like I did. Flannel is very prevalent, especially in our generation. Our generation was the grunge generation, Jeremy. Flannel was everywhere when we were in high school. You lived in Oregon. I see seas of black and red daily. I don't understand why this is a thing for you all of a sudden. What is going on with you, man?
It just wasn't a big thing in Maryland, I guess. I don't know. Not a big thing in the Florida Keys. Not a big thing in New Zealand. I'm just saying, there's some flannel issues. I don't know. I have issues, David, with flannel. It's like a calling card. It's a calling card for working class Americans. That's what it is. So, David, I am proud to tell you that I was out until 2:30 a.m. Pretty damn good for an old man, if I don't say so myself.
Especially with old man balls.
Right. Yeah. Well, shit. So yeah, I was very proud of myself. 2:30, I did pace myself. I made good decisions.
Did we make good life choices, Jeremy, at this event?
We did. I had the option not to, but we've talked about that off air, where that story will remain off air. No baiting me, David.
Come on, man.
I know.
It's my job.
I was given the option to not make good choices. I had my inner conscience is now fully David's voice in the back of my head saying, make good choices. Make good choices. So
Jeremy.
Yeah. That is exactly the voice right there. Jeremy.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Oh my God.
That's me being Jiminy Cricket.
I got that. I got it. I'm old with old bladder tendencies and old man balls. I'm not senile yet, you giant dick. So we move on to Thursday. It was a little bit of a slow start because I was out for forever.
Right.
Let's see. I was able to set out a few robots in the afternoon. I believe this was the day I spent most of it sending you inspirational and funny memes, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. You did. They were delightful.
every half an hour until we got to the time, and then I just like unloaded all of the ones I had in my phone all at once.
I was sitting in my car and got like 30 of them.
And the only other really good thing for Thursday was that we started watching Witcher on Netflix.
I just started that this morning, actually.
Nice. We're only one episode in, and it has promise. It has promise.
Yeah, it's no Mandalorian, but yeah,
no, it's no Mandalorian. So. It's also no Game of Thrones, which everyone was like, oh, it's the new Game of Thrones. Not yet, but you know what?
I felt a little boring like Game of Thrones. I'll be honest.
Well, the first episode of Game of Thrones and the first episode of Witcher were kind of a little boring. There's way too much exposition to go through.
Yep. I agree.
Friday, more robots. I have 13 done now, David.
Nice.
Got to go to the girls' volleyball game. They did lose. However, it was not a real game, David.
What?
Somebody forgot to schedule referees.
Are you kidding me?
No. So one of the varsity players had to be the referee and whatnot. So it just ended up being a scrimmage.
Who's in charge of this? Who forgot that?
I don't fucking know. That's the second time it's happened. One time with her soccer.
Somebody needs their hand slapped, Jeremy.
No shit.
With a ruler.
with a giant ass ruler. I got to see at the game. I got to see. Our new friends from town, the Barnes family. Now, these are the people whose barn sale I went to and got to meet the people who, the family who lived in my house. So I got to meet the husband, who was his actual family, he lived here the longest. And so we're going to get together for drinks and whatnot, and we're going to hear story time about the house. He hasn't been in here since he bought it back from bankruptcy and sold it to Joy. So he hasn't been in the house for 30 years. And so, yeah, that's going to be great. We snuck off, went grocery shopping in prep for Snowmageddon, David. If I look out the window right now, yep, it's fucking snowing, and it's going to snow for the next 4 days.
That sounds terrible.
It's awful. So today we had to move our podcast a little bit because volleyball had an impromptu, I should say, practice today. And it was going to be right smack dab in the middle of our podcast time. So I asked David to move us back just a little bit to make sure that wasn't going to interrupt us. And since the podcast was moved back, I went ahead and we snuck off a little early and we went to the school to help start building Mamma Mia, the musical. So,
that's right.
Snuck out there for a little bit. We'll do the same tomorrow morning. And yeah, that's me, buddy. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic both with good life choices, with The Witcher. I am optimistic for the amount of robots that I'm being called to make in the first 4 fucking days of the year. I am optimistic for, you know, getting story time and optimistic with boner pills, man. I am just fucking optimistic.
Well, aren't you just Mary fucking Sunshine?
I'm going to try to be, goddammit.
Yeah, look, you're going to need to bring it down. I got you at a 10 right now. I need you at like a 4. Because this podcast is going to go on, I can't have 12 months of you being fucking zippity-doo-dah of Mary Sunshine, all right?
You know damn well the universe is going to come over and stretch my balls even further. I'm just saying.
All right. Yeah, so my week was decidedly more mushy, Jeremy.
All right. Now, not mushy like...
No.
mushy,
like squishy, and I don't really know how it went, but
like an unsatisfying turd consistency. It's like, oh well, I guess I'm done.
It's a troublemaker, Jeremy. Monday we did our podcast, and after that, I took your note, and I too that evening took down my Christmas tree.
Nice.
So that was exciting, and like the hillbilly I am, I tossed it out on the front porch, waiting for this weekend when it would be taken to my in-laws' house. I was like, I'm not going to throw it on the back porch because then I got to drag the thing through my house two times.
Yeah, so right,
you're just going to go on the front porch and live there.
Did you get a note, David?
Did I get a note?
From the HOA?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a note.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
So then Tuesday, I spent most of that day getting ready for Thursday, which was going to be my interview. They had this, it was sort of a weird experience in that I had to go, I mentioned this last week, I had another panel interview. This time the number doubled to 6 people. And then I had to give a presentation in a 20 to 25 minute window about emotional intelligence, Jeremy, which that's a big subject to cover in 20 to 25 minutes.
I noticed you didn't ask me for any expertise on emotional intelligence.
No, sir, I did not. And there are many reasons I did not.
Was it the pinchy toilet paper and the straight pins in my pee hole? Is that did it for you?
Look, Jeremy, there is a plethora of reasons I did not ask you.
Okay.
Let's just leave it at I felt that I maybe was a bit of a stronger subject matter expert on it than yourself.
Okay.
And let's leave it at that, okay?
Okay. I'm staying at a 9. Staying at a 9. Still positive.
Staying at a 9. Yep. Yeah, that's good. Just bring it down a little bit. We're getting closer. So I spent the day working on that, really trying to get that honed in. And then Tuesday evening was New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was at work.
Oh, that's right. So she had to work it because she was off Christmas.
Exactly. Gotcha. So it was the girls, my mother, and myself. And then our menagerie of animals.
Right.
That you may hear bark throughout the course of today's podcast.
Right.
My youngest is still young enough that when she gets tired, she gets wild.
I'm vaguely remembering a text. yes, go on.
So as the evening progressed, she, as opposed to getting more tired and subdued, she got more wild. And so she can't sit still. She's up and down. She's up and down. She's chatting, going a mile a minute. And I am not feeling real great Tuesday night. Because of stress and just, I think, allergies and all that stuff, I got a bit of a headache. My throat's been a little yuckety. This has been a bad winter for me. I think it's mostly all this stress. Mm. I'm in the middle of like having real stress about this presentation I got to give because I'm feeling the pressure of trying to cram a lot of information into 25 minutes and show that I have all the skills necessary to do this job.
Right.
So my patience is a bit thin.
Right.
At that point. But I'm trying really hard because she's super excited about New Year's and she's just a rambunctious ball of energy. And so it just, as it goes further and further, the talking becomes nonstop at some point, Jeremy. At some point, there's a transition for bursts of excitement and energy to just continual talking. I don't know what was said. I just know that there was a kind of a constant drone at all times. And so at one point, I did text Jeremy in the evening, and I said, hey, I may not be able to do the podcast on Saturday. And he said, oh, okay, what's going on? And I was like, well, I may be in prison for murdering one of my children.
Right.
So.
But you didn't. You're not in jail.
I didn't.
We're able to podcast. It ended up okay. You passed, David. You passed
now,
the final
test
of 2019.
Right. Now, I may have to murder my oldest because she now knows that this exchange happened.
Oh, damn.
And she might try to use that as some kind of blackmail on me, which means I will have to end her.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes.
Right. Well,
I might not be available for next podcast.
I'm optimistic.
Thank you. Still at a 9.
Yeah,
let's
sorry.
Bring that down.
Sorry.
I did not drink Tuesday night, but which is good because then Wednesday morning, not morning, like 11 o'clock, my father-in-law was at my house and we tore the remaining carpet off the stairs.
All right.
And cleaned those off. And now I'm in the process of sanding those down and getting ready to paint them.
Nice.
Which, have you ever taken carpeting off of stairs?
Yes, it's a shit show.
It's terrible.
700,000 staples.
Yep.
There's also, and they're in the worst possible spot. And you like,
they are.
You have the one crappy screwdriver until you can get it up just enough to get a pair of needle nose. It is tedious. It is awful. The stairs, if they knew they were going to be carpeted, are almost never prepped well. They've got paint and slop all over them because they knew they were just going to cover them. And
oddly enough, Jeremy, I don't know why, but the people who installed the carpet on the stairs prior to us, they apparently felt that they needed to pour at least one cup of sand on every fucking step.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they glued them, and I'm like, fuck.
No, no. I think they tried to, though. The top half of the stairs had, like, it was some kind of industrial, like, double-sided tape that they abandoned about the midway point.
They probably ran out.
Thank God for that. Yeah, thank God for that. But yeah, that was a real shit show. And man, it was dusty and dirty and gross. And I was wearing a mask the whole time because I'm allergic to dust. And I was like, the last thing I need is to lose my fucking voice again before tomorrow.
Right, because they would just think you were perpetually on drugs or something.
Right, or sick. And I don't want people to think I'm sickly.
Yes, hire me, give me a job. I'm perfect for this project.
So anyways, I'm wearing this mask, which is uncomfortable because I have a beard, and face masks are awful when you have a beard.
Mm. Well, they're bad enough when you have glasses. I can't imagine glasses and a beard.
Yeah, I'm a gooey mess. I can't imagine. You know, there's a reason why superheroes frequently don't have beards, because it would be just a shit show under that mask.
Right?
Right? All the time. So anyhow, Captain America didn't grow his beard in the movies until he stopped wearing the helmet. Did you notice that? Then
I did now, yeah.
Yeah. Then when he starts wearing the helmet again, boom, beard's gone. Now I realize his face is uncovered, but I'm just saying.
Practical. No, it's practical.
You know, Thor. Right.
Right.
Thor has a beard, no mask, no helmet.
Right.
You know?
That's interesting. Just Loki, big helmet with the sideburns, no beard.
No beard.
Batman, no beard.
No beard. Anyhow, Arrow, stubble, but a face mask.
Right.
Just an eye mask, I mean. Anyway, this is not why our subscribers tune in. They tune in to hear the exciting day-to-day activities of our lives.
Do they?
So anyhow, no. So then on Thursday, I had my interview.
Yes.
Which was fine.
And 1,001 inspirational memes.
Yes, those were delightful. They were delightful. Thank you so much.
Trying to keep it calm.
Yeah, every 30 minutes, I got a new one. And then the last, like, 15 minutes before I went into the interview, I got, like, 30 of them. So I went in, I did the thing. Most of it was done via telecommunication. So there was one person in the room with me. And then there were three people in Boise, Idaho, and two other ones in Bend, Oregon.
All right.
So it's kind of hard to gauge how things went because it was a teleconference thing, and it's always kind of hard to gauge. But I think I did okay, and my answers seemed to align well with what they were saying. So hopefully, you know, they'll go, yes, hire this guy.
And the presentation itself went well?
It seemed to.
For your performance?
It seemed to go okay.
Good.
I think so. That was all right. And then on Friday, I had another interview. I had a phone interview. And I'll tell you what, Jeremy. I think I could do wonders for this organization.
Now, what was this for on Friday, if you can tell?
This was for I don't want to say the name of the organization because I'm going to shit on them a little bit.
Oh, okay. What type of organization?
I don't even want to say that.
Oh.
But I was applying to be a project manager at this location.
Okay.
So I got called for the phone interview. I go through this. They go, well, can we record this phone interview so the hiring manager can hear it as well? And I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Why isn't the damn hiring manager on the damn phone call?
Well, yeah, there you go. So I go through the questions. It's about a 25, 30-minute phone call. And I get to the end of it, and then the person doing the interview says, okay, well, so this is what's going to happen. The hiring manager picked through a selection of resumes that they're interested in, and then gave me questions, and then I performed the interview. And now the hiring manager is going to listen to these interviews and then determine who to invite on for an actual physical interview.
So there's no time saving whatsoever because the guy already has to listen to the interviews. He should have just done them himself, right?
Correct.
Oh my God.
So that
is part of the project managing actually telling them how better to interview people?
I have to hope because I think I could slam dunk it there. Angel was like, you don't want to work there. That sounds like a real nightmare. I'm like, are you kidding me? That is all the lowest hanging fruit ever. I could make their productivity 100% better in like 10 days.
I would be a god.
So yeah, so that happened. And I don't know how it went fine. But I don't know that it was particularly amazing. We'll see. I'm going to hear something from both places next week. So we'll hopefully when you and I talk this time on Saturday, I'll have some good news on one of those fronts.
Awesome.
Yep.
Fingers crossed for you, buddy. Fingers
crossed. Thank you.
I'll sacrifice any of my children for you.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm not going to say on air which one I'm going to recommend.
Okay, you're right.
But I certainly have a recommendation we can talk about off air.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then today I got to get two rats done by tomorrow, Jeremy.
Right.
So.
How are they going?
They're going.
Yeah.
It's going.
I love your rats, by the way.
Yeah, they're fun.
I love the nuances with the Manny one, with the slightly larger eye and pupil, and the little mustache. It's great. I love the nuances.
Yeah, he's a fun puppet. And the thing is I wasn't planning. So originally, when I started to make that one, he was going to be like a rat lab rat.
Oh, okay.
And then Angel gave me the script, and I was like, oh, he can't be that way. He's got to be slick somehow. So then I gave him his little mustache.
Nice.
So I'm working on two. I'm trying to get two of those done today. We'll see if that happens. And then we're recording tomorrow. So that's been my week in a squishy nutshell.
So, all right. I see where mushy gets in there. It's there's stuff, but nothing solid. Yeah, mushy seems to work.
Oh, I also opened an Etsy shop this week.
I saw that, and I don't think I said congratulations. Now, when I looked at it, you had just started it, so there was only one product, Blue Guy, on there.
Yep.
So, but that's awesome.
That's all that's on there right now. Oh, okay. As well. But yeah, so I'm going to make a combination of puppet building materials for folks who make puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sell my resin eyes I make and noses.
What about special David patterns? Patterns are.
Well, I could do that maybe.
I'm just
saying. Patterns would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And then also finished products that I'll try to sell. So there's still only the one on there.
Yeah.
I'm slow to move. But I got one on there. I'll have another one. I'm probably going to put my Frazzle on there.
Now, I looked at some of your competition on there, David. Your products are top-notch on Etsy at the moment.
Well, thank you.
The only recommendation I even had in the back of my head was, and I don't know the Etsy site well enough, but if there is any way for you to put a small video of their movement on there. I don't know if they allow a little video or anything like that.
I'll have to look at it. That's a good idea.
It's just, and then the same thing that I have an issue with my robots is people can't always visualize the size. If you could maybe do one with your arm up it. If that made any sense. You know what I mean?
That's obscene, sir. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
People have a hard time with my robots because they're like, well, if they don't recognize
how big are they?
Yeah, one of the specific parts, then they have no concept. And, you know, with the background being as, you know, innocuous as possible so that it doesn't detract from your actual product, just like mine, some people have a hard time with it. But if there was possible to do just a little short video of with the movement, I bet you would just go gangbusters on there.
That's a good idea. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
I'll see what I can do. Thank you for that advice,
No
sir.
Worries.
So that's about my week, Jeremy. We've got your week. Is it that time, my friend?
I believe it's that time.
And what time is it?
News time. I don't know. All right, buddy. My first news story came to me this morning as I was in between alarms, in between my snoozes. I checked my phone, and instead of hitting the email blue button, I hit the Facebook blue button, and this was the first thing I saw. It was fate. David, here we go. With ingestible pill, you can track fart development in real time on your phone.
I just read that this morning, too. I almost picked that one.
We are living in the future, David. I'm telling you, optimism, optimism. All right, here's the story. It's kind of long, so I'm bulldozing through it. I've already read it. I have got to say, much like our cop friends in Florida, they really know how to throw the extra good dad jokes in there when writing the story.
Oh. All right.
First human trials reveal gut gas chambers and blustery effects of diet. Scientists often hope to break ground with their research, but a group of Australian researchers would likely be happy with breaking wind. The team developed an ingestible electronic capsule to monitor gas levels in the human gut. When it's paired with a pocket-sized receiver and a mobile phone app, the pill reports tailwind conditions in real time as it passes from the stomach to the colon. The researchers of RMIT University and Monash University, never heard of them, reported their invention Monday in Nature Electronics. The authors are optimistic that the capsule's gas readings can help clear the air over the inner workings of our intricate innards and the multitudes of microbes they contain. Such fume data could clarify the conditions of each section of the gut, what microbes are up to, and which foods may cause problems in the system. Until now, collecting such data has been a challenge. David, this next section is not for the weak at heart. Methods to bottle it used to involve cumbersome and invasive tubing and inconvenient whole body basically they put you in a big plastic baggie and they read what's coming out. Popping the electronic pill is a breeze in comparison, and early human trials have already hinted that the pill can provide new information about intestinal wind pattern and gaseous turbulence from different foods. Our pilot trial illustrated the significant potential role for electronic-based gas-sensing capsules in understanding functional aspects of the intestines. Right. So these guys are starting to think of the commercial aspects of this and have started a company to further the development. Nicknamed the Toot Tracker for their pilot study, the researchers beefed up the prototype, basically the size of a large vitamin, and it has a polymer shell around this little sensors. And sensors record CO2, temperature, H2, and O2, as well as a bunch of button-sized silver oxide batteries and the transmission system. So one end of the capsule contains the gas permeable membrane that allows for fast diffusion of gut gases. Basically, it lets the farts come in the pill. And the story is a little bit longer because it was in a scientific thing, and those are always much longer. Easier to copy and paste because they don't have as many ads. But they've been trying, you know, the varying degrees of a fiber in people's diet and, you know, recording, how long it takes to recover the instrument
the
at
data?
The other end. At the other end. You know, it's a little electronic thing with batteries. You gotta make sure that comes out, which I guess is the most rough part of this entire thing. So they time how long it takes, how long it stays in the stomach, how long it stays in the small intestine, and how long it takes to go through the colon or large intestine, and then eventually pass out. So David, they had somebody do a non-fiber diet, or very, very low at least. And David, son of a bitch, it took 54 hours just to pass through the colon.
Wow.
It was like 3 days later, and they're just like, no, here, have some fiber. We need to speed this shit up, literally. And so, yeah, and then it took another 12 hours after they gave him more fiber in his diet to pass it. So they haven't gone that far, but they've been testing all kinds of stuff. And God damn it, David, it is a wonderful time to be alive. I'm just saying. They're very hopeful. The last thing this article says is, quote, it might not be too long before a routine healthcare visit involves a check of your vital signs and a request to swallow a tiny electronic monitoring device. That would be amazing for all of those suffering with Crohn's, IBS, all of this stuff. David 2020 is starting out to be amazing. Sorry, I'm back to 10. And that is your toot tracker 2020.
Jesus. Lord. What?
I would totally do that. Telling you, I would go and I would have my toots tracked. What about you, David?
I guess so. I fart a lot. I don't know that I need them tracked. They go their own way, you know?
Well,
fart song?
Yeah, that's Fleetwood Mac, actually. You can go your own way.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm. This is amazing, isn't it? If the toot tracker can sense all of this stuff as it just passes through your body, imagine what it would be able to do. It could read other things. It could read problems with the stomach. It could find blockages, if there were any. You know, if the pill just automatically stopped, you know, they'd be able to know it. It's amazing. I think it's wonderful.
I don't know that I share your same sense of optimism and excitement on this, Jeremy. Wait. But hey, buddy, you're high on the 2020 Kool-Aid, so I'd like to be somewhat supportive of you. You swallow that pill that tells you how much you fart. Jeremy, I don't know that I need a pill to tell me how much you fart. I have my wife to tell me how much I fart.
But now, wouldn't you like to know the data of what things make you fart the most, or what things give you the upset tummies or the gurglies or the bubble guts?
I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Well, pizza. Pizza gives me that.
Does it really? It's your favorite food.
Yeah, I know. It's the karma that is my life. I will eat pizza, and then the next day, it's like a... What is that? I think it's maybe like on the coast, and there's those tugboats. It's all right.
Foghorn.
That's what my ass sounds like about 12 hours after I eat.
Your ass is a Ricola commercial.
It is.
Eat the pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't need a pill for that, Jeremy.
Well, aren't you one of the lucky ones, David?
No, Jeremy. It's a
oh, my God.
It's a curse, sir.
I wouldn't stop eating pizza either.
This is going to be part of my life now.
All right. All right, buddy. What do you got for us?
Well, Jeremy, in my fear that 2020 will be similar to 2019, I went a slightly different route in my stories this week, Jeremy. Florida man wakes up to find another man sucking on his toes.
That is so 2019.
Right? It was kind of squishy. Jeremy is a bit mushy.
All right. It's not
great, but is it bad? A Florida man woke up in the middle of the night to find another man sucking on his toes, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. Deputies say that the man was sleeping in his bed in Bradenton when he woke up and realized he wasn't alone.
What? Is that Bradenton?
I guess so.
Oh, my God. I've been there a bunch.
Well, there you go. Apparently there's a potential serial toe sucker out there. The man told deputies he assumed he was being robbed, so he told the intruder...
That's the first thing I think of when someone sucks on my toe.
Right? So he told the intruder he did not have any money. Money...
to pay him for sucking on his
sir,
toe.
Sir, I can't pay you for these services rendered. I'm a little short on cash this week. But money wasn't what he was there for. The intruder told the man he was there to suck on his toes, according to an investigative write-up. That's when the man punched the accusing toe sucker and forced him outside, according to investigators. While the two brawled, the man who had sucked the toes told the other man he had a gun and tried to fondle him, according to the investigation.
Wow!
The man continued to hit the intruder for about 30 seconds before running inside and calling 911, deputies said. At this point, the intruder broke out the front window of the home and stomped in on the man's... stomped on the man's car windshield until it broke, deputies say. Investigators said that the toe-sucking suspect took off, so they tried to track him down with a canine, but were unable to find him.
Wow. You cannot see me, David. My hands are trying to keep my brains inside my head. There's a lot going on here. I have so many questions. I think my brain is trying to crawl out my forehead.
Uh-huh.
Was that the end of the story? Yep. Please
tell
me.
That was it. That was the end of it.
Holy
shit. So the toe
shit.
Sucker is still at large, Jeremy.
At large toe.
Large toe. The toe sucker is still at big toe, Jeremy.
Wow.
Tell your friends in Bradenton or where the hell it is. They need to wear some socks to bed.
Let me recap this. I just need to make sure I got this all.
Break it down, buddy.
Man wakes up.
Yep.
To someone sucking on his toe.
Check.
Immediately thinks he's being robbed for money. Tells the man, I don't have any money.
Well, Jeremy, I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of times, if there's a large population of homeless, they'll like try to wash your windshield at like a stoplight.
I don't think this is the same thing, David.
So maybe
because the guy ended up stomping on the windshield on the way out.
But what I'm saying, Jeremy, is maybe he woke up and he's like dazed. He's like, oh man, that guy's gonna ask me for cash since he was sucking on my toes. I gotta tell him right now.
I don't know money. That's a natural thought progression, right?
Well, Jeremy, if I woke up and some dude was sucking on my toes, I'm not sure the natural thought progression would be, I don't have any money.
No!
It might be more along the lines of, why are you sucking on my toes? How did you get in here?
Who the fuck are you, and why is my toe in your mouth?
Right?
That might be my first thought. So, okay, back to the timeline.
Right.
He tells the man, I ain't got no... If you're here to rob me, I don't have any money. The man says, I'm not here for your money. I'm here to suck on your toe. Right. At which point, the guy doesn't kick the intruder. He does a full sit-up and punches the intruder. Is it?
Yes.
Right? I assume toe is out of mouth if the man had already was able to speak. I have to hope. Okay. Because otherwise...
I'm not here for the money. I'm here for the toe.
Right. Because, I mean, you would assume that you would run the risk of, once you punch the guy in the head, that he would just bite down harder
on
your
toe. Bite your toe off, right. Yeah, that's no good.
So then he wrestles the man to the front of the house, and they brawl. And the intruder says, I've got a gun. And the guy just keeps beating him. And then stops beating him to call 911.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, Toe Sucker goes outside and throws a hissy fit because he's no longer to suck on that man's toes. And he bashes in the windshield, or kicks in the windshield of...
Yeah, and the front window of the dude's house.
Wow. And throws I can't suck your toe hissy fit. And this being a stranger and all, he takes off. So, I mean, do you... The police come, and they actually put a dog on it?
Yep, canine unit.
So they're taking the toe-sucking seriously, which is a good sign.
Well, yeah, because the guy also said he had a gun.
Right.
And then fondled him.
Oh, and then... Don't forget the fondling. I forgot the fondling. How do you...
Yep.
during the beatdown?
Apparently. Yeah, for the 30 seconds the beatdown's occurring.
He's not guarding his face. He's not keeping the fists up in front of his face.
No, he's keeping his face probably covered.
With one hand,
but
and
not
the other
his
one.
Genitalia.
And the other one's checking him like a urologist.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying our guy.
No, right. No. The sucker.
Yes.
Is, I assume, on his back, covering his face with one hand while what? Simultaneously checking.
Right.
The nethers of the other, right? Of the suck-e, for one last woohoo, trying to, what, change his mind? Oh.
I don't know.
Well.
I don't know.
You keep fondling him like that, you'll be able to suck my toe and I won't call the police. There's so much.
Especially on Cialis.
Yes. There's. I'm going to lock my doors extra tight now. I don't know if I'm dealing with a hair trigger over here. There's, God bless you for finding that story, David.
That was my find this morning. I had another story picked.
Oh my God, that's mind-boggling. Now, how did you feel when you read that, David? I need to know.
So, as I was reading through it, I kind of relived that. I lived that moment in my head, right? Like, what would happen?
Right.
And in my mind, it was the Joker. Jeremy, I'm in some kind of Batman, Bruce Wayne scenario. I'm asleep in my bed. I wake up. I feel something weird down at my toes. Cover goes back. It's Jared Leto.
Full grill on and everything.
Full grill.
Wild eyes.
Yeah, wild eyes. Damaged across his forehead.
For some reason.
Right? And it, you know. And he's got those little paddles. And then, you know, he says something along the lines of, oh, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to suck your toes real, real bad. and then he proceeds to suck my toes with that grill. And I got real uncomfortable, Jerry. I was sitting down. It was like 6:30 in the morning reading this. And I got a little uncomfortable. I went and turned the light on. I'll be honest with you.
Did you go check the locks on the doors?
I did. But yeah, no, wouldn't that be the weirdest thing ever? And I'm right there with you. Why didn't he just kick that dude in the face? You know?
Why did he stop beating him? It sounded like he was winning.
Yeah, but he had a guy, in case the guy did have a gun. You don't want to get shot over toe sucking.
True.
Yeah? You
know? I guess. But I mean.
I don't.
I mean, his hands were obviously busy covering his face and juggling the sucky's stuff. So what hand was free to get the gun? I'm just saying.
He wasn't, no, he was, he wasn't sucking his stuff, Jeremy. You're confusing
his fondling,
mouth and hand action.
He was covering his face, I assume, while being beat, and then his free hand was, you know, checking for lumps. So what hand is available for pulling a gun out?
For a gun.
Well, I mean, I guess the one hand could pull the sucky's gun out.
Right.
Wow. There's. I think we need to put that one to bed. I don't think I can.
I think we do.
I don't think I can keep thinking about it. I'm pretty sure I might not ever listen to this podcast when it gets released. So I don't have to think about how fucked up that whole story is. Wow.
Yep.
All right. I got to move on for my own, so I can stay optimistic, David. I got to.
Uh-huh.
That brought me down
to for my next one, Jeremy.
That brought me down to a 7, David. I'm not going to lie.
I'm planning to flatten you out right around a 4 with my second one.
All right, sir? David. I'm going to go into my second story, and I'm going to preface this with, occasionally, I will find a story where the headline promises much more than the story delivers. But
all right, that's all right.
But on this one, the story was just weird enough to go, I'm going to keep it. So here's the headline, David. Utah man found dead in a freezer had a notarized letter saying his wife wasn't responsible for his death. Notarized.
Hey, honey, can you sign this for me real quick?
Yeah, well, in front of a notary.
Babe, no, don't read it. Yeah. Just sign it. Oh, okay.
Careful what you sign.
Always read the fine print.
Right. All right, buddy. When Jeanne Jeanne? It's a weird spelling. When Jeanne Soren Mathers died in November, police in Tule, Utah were startled to find the body of her husband, Paul, in a chest freezer at the couple's home. But that wasn't all. Police also discovered a notarized letter from Paul stating that his wife was not responsible for his death, according to a search warrant unsealed this week. Investigators now believe that Paul Mathers died a decade ago and are investigating the possibility that monthly payments from him or to him from Veterans Affairs and Social Security kept coming in after his death. Sergeant Jeremy Hansen of the Tule Police Department said investigators have filed subpoenas and are still waiting for financial record. The VA payments would total of at least $177,000. Paul Mathers is believed to have died between February 4th, 2009 and March 8th. He had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and was being treated at the local Veterans Affairs Medical Center. He was last seen there on February 4th, 2009. But before he died, Paul Mathers wrote a letter stating his wife was not responsible for his death, and that letter was notarized in December 2008, the search warrant said. Detectives tracked down the notary, and she said she didn't read it, she just stamped it. Sergeant Hansen declined to disclose Paul Mathers' illness, and his wife, Jeanne, 75, died in November from what appears to be natural causes. So, I'm going to run the timeline on this.
I would say that's got an interesting timeline as well.
Right? So, in December 2008, he handwrites a letter, and says that his wife is not responsible for his death. So him and his wife had concocted this thing. Look, if I die, my payments stop. If I'm not dead, my payments continue. Cool. So they get a big chest freezer. He goes to the doctor through February 4th and then just doesn't go back to the VA. He dies. Yeah. She puts him in the cooler and keeps him there for a decade or more, David. She dies of natural causes, having spent the money that kept coming in from Social Security and the VA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know who discovered. I mean, I assume they don't have kids, right? I can assume that from the story.
I would assume.
And then she passes away from natural causes, and the police end up finding his body in the freezer with the letter. I guess the letter was in case someone discovered him before she was dead.
Right.
Right. Or if anybody came knocking or the freezer died and they had to have it worked on.
I fixed the freezer.
I think all the meat in there's gone bad. It's got a horrible smell.
But it looks like it has a human face. That's not normal for a side of beef.
Right.
Wow.
I don't know that I like to think I could try to see all sides of this. I understand he's dying of a turn. He's going to die. The illness is going to wipe him out. He's worried about his wife's well-being and whatnot. So I understand that part. I just, on her end, I just don't know that I could have a dead body in the freezer for 10 years.
Well, I mean, it's frozen. So
still, I get uncomfortable looking at those pictures or reading the stories about all of the dead climbers on Everest who are just there popsicled out.
Well, but Jeremy, what difference is that than like a mausoleum? Or a casket.
Well, I don't want a mausoleum in my house or a casket in my house.
Hell, Elvis is buried in the backyard like a dog.
Really?
Yeah, you go to Graceland, his tomb is on Graceland property.
Yeah, but I don't have to live at Graceland. And I don't have to go down and do a load of laundry next to the dead husband freezer, is all I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, that is a little weird, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what choice she would have had, though, probably. Like, the money would have stopped coming in, and then she'd have been destitute. So what is she going to do?
I don't know.
You know?
Right?
I mean, I'm not... I don't know that I would say...
Did he not have life insurance?
Maybe not.
I'm going to assume not.
Huh. You know?
Right.
Yeah, no, that is a little weird, but
nobody noticed he was gone for 10 years?
Well, that's the other thing that seems odd to me. I mean, I guess the VA doesn't have the greatest track record right now, but, you know, you have a client who's undergoing some kind of treatment, and then they just stop showing up, and nobody follows up on that?
Right. I mean, yeah, they didn't even have he decided to no longer seek treatment.
Yeah.
They don't even say
that. And that notary.
I think that notary could get in some trouble, right?
Because you got to...
Yeah. Well, she can't be a notary anymore, I'm sure.
Yeah. My dad is, he was an attorney, and so he's a licensed notary or notarer. I don't know what the word is. But one time a buddy of mine was like, hey, can your dad notarize this for me? And he's one of those friends that's a little shifty, you know?
Ah.
And so I asked my dad about it, and he's like, well, yeah. He's like, if it's one of your friends you trust, that's fine. And I was like, yeah. So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about, folks? Occasionally shit will happen, and I can't edit around it. So I just have to do a hard reboot. And so what just happened was two giant assholes wandered by my front window, moving at what I can only describe as a breakneck slowness.
They were traveling at the speed of smell.
Yes. Which then caused the menagerie of jackasses in my house to unleash Bork 3000.
I think we were done with the story, and then Barkapalooza happened.
Yeah.
Because
I don't remember what I was saying. I was saying something, but then something happened, and then it was Barkapalooza. So, okay, so Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
What does that story do for you, though? What does that do for your 2020? Does it bring that number down from an 8 or a 7? What does that do?
No, I'm pretty even keeled. I mean, this happened in 2009, and then it just now all the warrants were released. He died in 2009. It happened in 19. I'm all right with it. Just a little creeped out about the prospect of having a freezer with a dead body in it. I don't know that I could sleep there. So yeah, that's me. So I mean, as far as optimistic, I mean, it was awfully nice of him to offer to die and be put unceremoniously in a freezer so his wife could have an income. So,
yeah,
that's kind of nice.
That's what I would do.
That's love.
Just maybe we shouldn't be giving our significant others any ideas.
Shit.
I mean, I don't have any significant income to speak of, but I'm sure she has some kind of life insurance policy on me.
I know. Mine watch is snapped with a notebook, I swear.
Right? Jesus. Ugh.
Anyway, let's go on to another news story. And let's see how you can derail my optimism.
This one's going to do it, Jeremy.
Okay, I'm ready.
This comes to us from the Huffington Post. Retired English teacher fined for repeatedly park pooping.
For repeatedly park pooping?
Yes. Jeffrey S. Churchwell told a Wisconsin sheriff's deputy that he had let his thrill-seeking, self-indulgent pride and ego both get the best of him.
Really? You're going with pride?
Right. Yeah, I know.
I kind of would have just gone with crack is a hell of a drug.
Right. Teaching the youth of America.
Yeah.
A Wisconsin man who was cited for regularly defecating in a public park over a period of 2 years.
Wow.
And admitted that his excuse for doing so was pretty crappy.
Ah, I love it.
Jeffrey S. Churchwell of Elkhorn told police that he publicly defecated up to several times per day at the Natureland Park in Whitewater, according to Madison.org.
Wow. Several times a day?
A day. That man must have been eating a lot of fiber.
Right.
They should have put that pill in him.
Shit, they'd have gone and found it in the park.
Sir, where did that pill go? I flushed
it. It's next to the jungle gym.
Right, exactly. As a result, the 60-year-old suspect was cited for disorderly conduct.
He's an old phantom pooper.
Yeah, he is. and agreed to pay a $365 fine plus $5,705 to the County Public Works Department to reimburse them for the stains he left behind.
So he wasn't doing it on the grass.
Oh, no, man. He was sticking it to the man.
Well, at least to the man's park equipment.
Parking equipment, yeah. Walworth County Sheriffs first got wind of Churchwell's movements
on October 8th.
I know, isn't it great? After a worker at the Walworth County Highway Shop complained about the poop and used toilet paper left near a park bench. This is what I find awesome.
He brings a roll with him.
He brings a roll with him.
Wow.
The worker showed deputies the trail camera photo of a man later identified as Churchwell answering nature's calls in the middle of the night. So, Jeremy, not only was all of this happening, but he did it in front of a trail camera.
Well, I mean, those are camouflage. You know, you can't see those. I hope the trail camera was put up to catch the phantom pooper.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
But, I mean, his age really tells me why he had to go multiple times a day. But,
well, exactly.
I mean, at night.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't think old people liked to go anywhere after dark.
Well, this one apparently did.
Let alone go to the park or go in the park.
The picture shows Churchwell's car and a partial plate number, which gave a deputy a reason to pull over the pooping prep. I'm sorry. Gave a deputy a reason to pull over the pooping perp as he was driving into the park, according to the Associated Press.
Wow. He was
going back for his nightly constitutional and got caught. At first, Churchwell, a high school English teacher who is officially retiring later this month,
told the officers...
Yeah, right? Who pulled him over that he didn't know why he was being stopped. But after the deputy asked if he'd like to see pictures of why he was pulled over, Churchwell allegedly hung his head and said, "Going to the bathroom."
Oh, wow. I'd have taken that shit to court. Literally. Prove it. Prove it was me.
That's my ass. Show it. Well, they had plates, Jeremy. They had plates on his car.
Partial. They only had a partial.
Well, you know, as if Churchwell's reportedly... I'm sorry. What is AF?
As fuck.
I know, but... AF first.
Oh.
Maybe that's a... I don't know what that is. This says A. I don't know whether it's a typo or what, but AF first... Churchwell reportedly told
police... Oh, at first. It's a typo.
Oh, at first. Got it. Okay.
As fuck first.
All right. At first, Churchwell... Fuck. At first, Churchwell reportedly told police he had been pooping at the park since the summer, but later admitted he had been dropping deuces for more than a year.
Wow.
According to the police report obtained by Gazette Extra.com, Churchwell said stupidity was the reason for publicly pooping, but he also admitted he did it both for convenience and also to be disrespectful.
Right. You gotta go it's to a convenience car. To drive somewhere with a roll of toilet paper, make sure nobody's watching you, and shit in a park. Convenience, my ass. Right. There's a Starbucks somewhere, and they're letting anybody in the restrooms now. You ain't even gotta buy anything.
Churchwell later sent an apology email to the deputy who arrested him and said he realized he had made a mistake. I am so disappointed in myself. I have this great opportunity to teach political rhetoric. In this class, I stress the importance of involved citizenship. And then there I am being a lousy citizen of Walworth County. My hypocrisy now sickens me, the email said. It continued, as well, after really thinking about why I did what I did, I came to the conclusion that I allowed my thrill-seeking, self-indulgent pride and ego both get the best of me. For that, I am truly ashamed. If thousands of students who, for some reason, respect me and my efforts here were to discover this flaw, well, it wouldn't be good.
Well, they're gonna now.
Now, the Milton District School District, the Milton... Oh, what just happened? Oh, my God. The computer just reset on me. Jesus H. huffing stuff. Hold on. It just was like, nope, you've had this too long. I'm going to fucking fuck you up on the last paragraph. The Milton School District Board of Education approved Churchill's retirement on December 18th after a closed session consideration of staff employment retirement issues. He had worked for the district since August of 1990, according to the Milton Courier.
Wow, almost 30 years.
Yeah. And that ends the story. Jeremy, there are several things I find interesting about this story. One of which is that he says he was doing it to be disrespectful, but to who or why? Like this story didn't go deep enough in its investigation. Who was he being disrespectful
for? Well, he's a teacher. Do we know, is he high school or is he grade school?
Yeah, high school English teacher.
High school. So obviously he spends all day, you know, with the kids and high school kids. I don't know if you hang out with them much. They're awful, awful human beings, especially
nowadays.
Yeah,
no, I know.
And so I'd like to think he's going there and just he's really being shitty back to the kids. And I'd like to think that he was smearing it on like skateboard ramps and swing sets.
Oh,
man. Do you know what I mean? I think he was taking it out on the kids.
Okay. Maybe. That would make sense to me.
Okay.
Because this secret vendetta doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Yeah, like some park cleanup worker, you know, had an affair with his wife once, and so now he's going to make them all pay.
Maybe that's what it is.
Right?
Doris, you had relations with that park worker? I'll show him.
I'll show him and all of his kind.
Shit all over his park. Sometimes three times a day.
Right? Oh, God. Convenience. That doesn't even enter into it. Wow. Well, David, it did not take me down to a 4, because I am optimistic that the good work of the investigative work done by the park patrol, I am optimistic that future park pooping perps will think twice before deucing in public.
Maybe,
so
Jeremy,
maybe 2020 will be less shitty because of the efforts of these people.
But Jeremy, yes, sir. Just think of it this way, my friend. Mm-hmm. Just think of it this way.
Thinking.
There are humans out there that find it socially acceptable to just take a dump in the park.
There are also much worse humans out there currently running for office or things like that.
In the office.
Yes. So.
Well, there you go, Jeremy. All right, look, I'm
optimistic for that too, David.
Oh, God, you fool.
Yes.
You fool.
Yes. Yeah. I'm staying optimistic. You have done nothing to tear me down. Nothing. I'm optimistic for you. I'm optimistic for me. I am optimistic for our species and for our country.
Are you drunk right now?
I should be. No, I am just, I'm snorting the 2020 dust. It's what I got.
You know, I almost had a beer for this podcast, but then decided not to.
We should do that. We should do that. If we ever have to do it in the evening again, knowing that the stress level, especially in your house, is already going to be up there, we should at least buffer with an alcoholic beverage.
Some booze.
Right. Right. I'm
yeah,
on board.
No, I got
I'm
you, man. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm on board, too.
Sweet. All right, buddy.
All right. Well, we should, on that note.
It wasn't even that bad of a note. Just a brown note.
No, I know.
Huh.
Just day drinking.
It's just a little day drinking, baby. It's all right.
A little day drinking.
So I'm going to stay optimistic and hopeful that you hear good news next week.
Thank you,
my
friend.
I'm hopeful that Snowmageddon is not going to be as bad as they think it is going to be for here. I'll get some
as
robots done.
Feed that mouse.
Feed that mouse. Yes. Feed that mouse, and I am also going to stay optimistic and hopeful that, medical issues aside, I get to reap extra bonus benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to, look, Jeremy, for science, you need to time yourself.
Oh. Oh, like stamina-wise?
Yeah, and measurements.
Oh. See, I didn't take a
circumference diameter.
I didn't take a before.
Well, just, look, you've only done the medicine for one day now, so just, you know.
Sir, what you're telling me is to go upstairs,
yes.
Arouse myself, measure myself, and then
yes.
Check that weekly and update the podcast listeners.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Right. What if it goes down? Can I lie?
I'm not going to tell anybody. I wouldn't say. I would never say.
Yeah, right. All right, buddy. Let's get off of here. Go beat some dogs. Go entertain some children. I'm going to go finish taking down my Christmas stuff, and I'm going to go measure stuff.
All right. Godspeed with that, my friend.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, this is David reminding you to check out all of our episodes on iTunes and connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. You can see all kinds of tomfoolery throughout the week. Thanks and have a good one. Bye.